Just a couple of things here, then we're going to jump right into this. DV did send me a note here that Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar has said that 3,625 patients have been tested by the CDC for coronavirus so far. 40 laboratories across the U.S., there are about 100 public health labs across the U.S., will be able to test for the virus beginning today, Thursday. Azar told lawmakers CDC test kits for coronavirus will be distributed today, that's today, and 40 labs across the U.S. will be able to begin testing for the virus beginning today. 93 U.S. labs will be able to begin the test for the virus beginning on Monday. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago on February the 12th, the CDC flagged all the test kits and said they're flawed, don't use them. That left only three of the hundred and a few laboratories around the country with any tests left at all to use. So this is all happening today, and by Monday, 40 labs today, by Monday, 93 of the slightly over 100 U.S. public health labs will be testing for the virus. And I think most all of you know what to expect if they honestly begin to report their results. Here's one more, just a quickie. This is from a doctor, Dr. Alex Greninger, an assistant professor in the Department of Laboratory Medicine and an assistant director of the Clinical Virology Laboratory at the University of Washington Medical Center. He told this to Live Science. He said, the United States is lagging when it comes to testing for new coronaviruses, and the United States is not remotely prepared for this coming epidemic. We're not remotely prepared, said Dr. Greninger. All right, there's a heck of a lot going on, and we're always privileged to spend this hour with you each night with Henry Nyman, who can, as few could ever do. Dr. Nyman is at the top of the top. He's there. And what do you got, Henry?
Well, a little amendment to your
Please
announcement
do.
About the tests. The CDC also changed the requirement for running the test. And in the past, you know, you had to be a contact of
right.
someone that was positive, or you had to travel from a location that, well, it wasn't even a location. Wanted to be from China, you know, initially it was Wuhan, then
right.
it was China.
Right.
And so after the most recent fiasco, which was at UC Davis, and the delay in testing the patient that is positive and is being held up as the first example of community transmission, although she's probably the second example. But in any event, they have now said that they can run the test if, quote unquote, the clinician suspects the patient may have COVID. So,
oh, really?
They're pretty much switching it over and saying, if you think they got it, check it out. don't just, we don't think so. So, I mean, it is a embarrassing. I mean, it's the U.S. used to be number one around the world. They were kind of the model. They were supposed to be prepared for a pandemic, and all other countries would kind of look to the U.S. as how
Correct.
It should be done.
The model.
And probably the most striking example of how low the U.S. has fallen. It was what's going on in Italy, where mm-hmm. Italy has so many cases that they are seeding the world right now. And you know, I was trying to keep up the last 2 days, and mm-hmm. you know, I kind of gave up as soon as I wrote up one story. Two or three more popped up, and most of Europe has now reported cases in the last two or three days mm-hmm. that have a link back to Italy. And prior to today, it had even extended to Algeria and Brazil.
How about Lagos, Nigeria?
And then that's what I was going to say. And then at the end of the day today, Lagos, Nigeria announced that they had identified a case who actually was an Italian who was working in Nigeria and had gone back to Milan and mm-hmm. gotten infected and came back. And they had him as a positive. They put out a press release, and it says that it was identified by the Nigerian CDC. So it's kind of like the U.S. has actually probably helped fund that, you know, with the Ebola money. And part of the Ebola money was to basically bring countries in Western Africa up to speed so that they could do their own testing in their own labs and not have to farm it out to the U.S. or mostly in Africa. They'd be farming it out to either Paris or the Pasteur Institute in Paris, or
right.
sending out to England. And this way they would have their own lab equipped and be able to do a PCR test. And now they just show them they can do a PCR test. They can identify COVID that was imported from Italy as almost anybody in the world can do, except the United States. The U.S. has not reported any cases from Italy. They have not reported any new cases in several weeks that Trump thinks is great. You know, he's doing such a great job that we're not finding any. You know? And that the best way to control this is to simply not test. So he's saying, oh, we only got 15 cases, and, you know, 10 are getting ready to be discharged.
Right.
We're down to 5.
Henry, excuse me. I'm sorry. Hold on. Your phone line is lousy. It's beginning to deteriorate. I want you to hang up. Todd's going to call you right back. We got to get a better line.
Okay.
We understood you, but I want a better line. So just hang up. Todd will call you right back. What I would add to what Henry said is that the American response to this, and as you heard him say, there haven't been any meaningful tests done in a couple of weeks or more, and that's a fact. Now they're beginning to again. As Dr. Alex Greninger said, the United States is not remotely prepared to handle this. And I would suggest, so far, the presentation we've made in terms of our preparedness is shameful. That's my term. Henry, go ahead.
Okay, so so the point was that everybody's able to pick up this virus, and we're not. And one of the reasons we're not is we're not testing, and we're putting all these restrictions on it. And you know, as you said, recalled all the tests, but you have to jump through all these hoops to send it to Atlanta. But first, it's got to meet their definition. So, you know, they're trying to win last year's war or whatever. So, you know, they're still looking for people that came from China. And they got all these Italians that have all the virus. And they're in Iran.
Red hot.
And it's so ridiculous. I mean, today, Canada just did their fourth import from Iran. They did one last Thursday. They kind of got the whole ball rolling. And then they got a second one that was related to the one from Iran. And those were both in British Columbia. And then yesterday they had one that was in Toronto. And then today they had one that was from Montreal. So in the last week, Canada has four cases that has blown in from Iran. And in that time, the U.S. doesn't have any cases from anywhere.
And ladies and gentlemen, how is that possible that we have nothing and they have those? The answer is simple. We have not been testing.
Right.
No tests, no positives.
This is exactly what happened in China. When it started out in Wuhan, and they went and they got their tests, and initially they had 59 positives, and then they ran the test and said, well, we only got it confirmed on 41, and then it sat at 41. And while it was sitting at 41, Thailand said, we just got one from China. And then Japan said, we just got one from China. And then those in China said, well, why are these other countries picking up new cases that came from Wuhan? And Wuhan doesn't have any more than the original 41. They're stuck at 41. And they were stuck at 41 for like 4 or 5 days. And it was kind of like, you know, people are flying out of China. They're showing up in these other countries. They're testing them. They're getting positives. They said, where did you come from? We came from Wuhan. And Wuhan doesn't have any cases. Well, it's the same thing here. I mean, Trump's out there, well, we got things under control. We're not getting any. And
we've been
positives.
Stuck at the mid-50s for three, four weeks.
It's been, the ones in the U.S. have been at 14 for quite some time. And there's nothing new happening. And then this one at UC Davis kind of just blew the whole lid off it.
Yep.
You're right. Because, well, it was both. It started in Solano County. It ended up in Sacramento County. Davis is in Sacramento. And you know, a lot of the detail came out. And the detail on this is, you know, shameful at best. I mean, this is a woman who lives in Vacaville, which is not that far from Travis Air Force Base, which is kind of creating a diversion. But she developed symptoms back on the 12th of February. And then her family ended up taking her to a local hospital in Vacaville. And she had flu-like symptoms, and she wasn't getting better. And they ended up putting her in the hospital. And then she continued to deteriorate. And then they were too small. They figured they couldn't really handle her because she was having breathing difficulties, and they had to intubate her, and she still wasn't getting better. And then they transferred her over to UC Davis in Sacramento, near Sacramento. And then she arrived in Sacramento a week ago. And she wasn't getting better there. And then they wanted to test her. And Sacramento didn't have any kits. And
remember, she
California
reported
did,
and presented with her symptoms on the 12th, as you said, Henry. And that was the day the CDC said, don't use these new kits. That was the end of testing on the 12th.
Right. So the state of California didn't have any kits. And there were kits, but they were just for the Diamond Princess. I don't know where this comes from. Okay, I'm getting this feedback on my computer. Hold on one second.
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time. We've got, if you look up at headlines at rents.com, look down your center column for headlines, and we've got all the primary stories today up there for you. New countries, new cases, and everything. And if we are beginning to test people today, as the story from Alex Azar's people indicate, watch and see what happens in the next 3-4 days. We should start to see a significant number of cases show up. We've been stuck at 55 or 59, depending on which you look at, for way too long. Go ahead.
Okay, so where did I leave off here? I've been playing on the computer trying to get this out.
Pick it up. The woman was sick. They hadn't tested her. She went to Davis. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. She went to Davis, and they asked CDC if they could send them a sample to test it because they didn't have anything available
the kit.
There.
They wanted to send a sample to Atlanta. That's all they asked for.
Right. 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 And that was because the only kits in California were for the evacuees. So they were for the ones from Wuhan. They were for the ones off the Diamond Princess, but they couldn't be used for an intubated patient that had all the symptoms of COVID. And so they asked if they could send them a sample, and they said no. And they said, she doesn't fit the case definition. She doesn't have any contact with a known case, and she hasn't traveled. She's local, and therefore, we're not interested.
They never heard of community transmission, for God's sakes.
They said they were going to look for it, but, they weren't going to test and prove that they actually found it. They would have to find it by accident. And in this case, the accident required the clinicians to be persistent and say, this looks like a COVID case to us. She's got, atypical pneumonia. She's not responding to anything we try. She's deteriorating. She's going downhill. She's intubated. She can't breathe. And we think this is a COVID case. So they finally sent it to him, and they finally got the answer on Wednesday, and she was positive. And then because of the delays, they then had to go and look at the healthcare workers, because when she first initially came in, they had some precautions, but they didn't have as big a precautions as they would have if they knew that it was a COVID case. And they had to basically test the healthcare workers back in Vacaville, and they had to test healthcare workers at UC Davis. And now they've got what they're calling is the first community transmission, although forgot about Humboldt County, Humboldt County was last week and was confirmed last week. And I went back to Humboldt County this morning thinking, well, maybe something happened with this case. Maybe they actually found out that this case had been exposed to, somebody that they knew, had brought the virus in. So they would at least know, even if it was community transmission, who they caught it from. And there wasn't anything about that at the website. What they had was that there was a contact, which they said originally, that they had suspected was infected, and that they tested that person, and they couldn't say it was a positive because the result was inconclusive. Now, an inconclusive result with the test they've with the kits they've had all the problems with probably means that person really was infected and they couldn't, it wasn't quite high enough to pick it up with the kits they had. But again, they didn't indicate that this other person was, had just traveled or had any known reason that person would have been infected. And in all likelihood, that person was infected by the positive. So they really have they probably have two positives, both of which would fall in the community transmission category.
Absolutely.
Because they can't trace either of them. You know, they can trace them back to each other, but they can't get, you know, they have no idea how they both got infected. And so they've got that up in Humboldt County, and now they've got this one in Solano County, and there's now some college students nearby that had exposure to her, so they're going to be testing them, and then I think there's some UC Davis students that are also being tested. I think one has some symptoms. And like you said, if they actually are going to start testing people because the clinician thinks that this may be a COVID case and they have actual kits there, and apparently the reason they have the kits is they just modified the protocol, because the way the protocol was set up, they usually have the test consists of primers in several different regions along the virus. So you know, they might have like three different regions that they're looking for a positive. And one of those three, was not giving consistent results. And so they just changed their protocol and said, don't pay any attention to that one. Look at the other two. You know, if you get a positive on the other two, that's a positive. You don't need a positive on all three because one of the three doesn't really work very well. And just ignore it. So that's all they did is they just modified the protocol and told them to ignore the one that the suspect isn't, you know, given consistent results.
So
they're essentially giving them back the same kits they withdrew, and they're just saying, don't look at well number two. Just look at one and three.
I hope all of you hear this.
If one and three is positive, that's a positive. You don't need one, two, and three.
Please listen to what he's saying. The kits were always used, in my view, this is me speaking, not Henry. There was an agenda here, calling those kits all flawed and not to be used. So they bought 2 weeks of time is what they did, okay? That's my view. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Whatever the reason, you're right that they bought some time and B lost a whole lot of credibility, because anybody that can take a look at this can see what's going on in Europe and every country. I mean, we kind of keep tabs on these things, and we have to keep adding countries that A, have never been positive, and B, I mean, Estonia was one that we just had to add today. I mean, we didn't have Estonia listed as the countries in Europe that might have the virus because it's a little bitty country. And, you know, Estonia hasn't been positive for much of anything in the last several decades as far as infectious disease and outbreaks like H5N1 or you know, anything along those lines. And so we have to keep on adding countries that basically so far had zero positives. And now each time they have a positive, they seem to be, you know, in many cases, they're linking back to Italy, and the ones in the Middle East are linking back to Iran. And those two countries are really kind of seeding all of these positives. And like I say, they're as far away as Algeria, Nigeria, and Brazil. And the U.S. is nothing. There are zero positives in the last week or so when it's exploding. And And that's essentially what's going on in Europe.
Since February the 12th. Yeah. That's where we are.
And in Europe, it's just, it's just exploding. Like I said, I was sending you examples, and I was doing it all morning and half the afternoon, and it just, it was a losing battle, because each time I sent one out, I looked, and there were two more that
I got most of them up there, and it's just, it's crazy. It's doing what the textbooks always told us it would do. It's exploding like a damn pandemic.
Right. And there's zero doubt that if the U.S. starts to test, and they actually admitted it in Spain. I mean, I was using Spain as an example yesterday. And the reason I was using Spain was because, they kind of was somewhat like the U.S. They were very quiet. There was nothing going on. They had a grand total of two cases, both of which happened a while ago, and both of which were clusters that we've already discussed. I mean, one was from Germany, and the other one was from UK, the guy who went to Singapore and then went to the ski lodge in France. And somebody that went to one of those meetings ended up going to Mallorca, another island, and is owned by Spain. And that was a positive. And the other one was at the Canary Islands. So they had two of their island territories that were positive. And that was it. They didn't have any on the mainland, where, you know, for Spain itself. They were just on a couple of its territories. And then that all changed just a few days ago. And there was a cluster on the one hotel that that basically has something like 700 people under quarantine now. And it was
it's a thousand
medical doctor.
700-room hotel with 1,000 guests.
Yeah, okay, 1,000 guests. And it had a doctor from Italy, northern Italy, who was positive, and then his wife was positive, and then two of his contacts were positive. So they had four at that hotel. And then they just started popping up in Spain, on the mainland. I mean, there was one on Madrid, one in Barcelona, and one in the other one with the football team, and then there were duplicates, and there was a second one in Madrid, and there was a second one in Barcelona, and it just kept on going. And I think the latest number is something like they're up to 28 or so. So they've got 26 positives in about 2 days, and most of them are. Valencia was the one with the football team. Valencia's up to, I think, eight now, seven or eight in Valencia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the vast majority of them are linked back to Italy, except they ended up finding a community transmission. So now they're concerned. But now that they started looking, they're not only finding these imports, which is the majority, that they're finding community transmission. And they came and they asked them, they said, well, you know, what's going on here? All of a sudden, you're getting all of these positives. What changed? And they said, the requirements for testing. They eased up so they could go and test these suspicious cases instead of, you know, having them come from China or something. And if they didn't have to come from China, and then they could just have atypical pneumonia, or they could have, you know, a ride from northern Italy and have atypical pneumonia, that you end up getting positives. And once they started getting positives, they tested more and they got more positives. And now they're up to like 28 positives in a couple of days. And you know that these 28 didn't just arrive in the last couple of days. Well, these 28 did, but these aren't the only ones that have arrived from Italy. They've been arriving for Italy for the last month. They just now started testing for them. So they've got the ones that showed up in the last few days, but they know nothing about the ones that showed up a month prior to that, in the month prior to that. And so they've got cases all over the place. And the same thing is happening throughout Europe. I mean, I was giving examples of some of the larger clusters in Germany yesterday. And those clusters grew today. There was the one cluster, if you recall, it was a couple, and the husband had been at a carnival for 3 days, and the wife had taught kindergarten and elementary students, they had gone 14 days with symptoms, and that's kind of the definition of a super spreader. That you've got somebody that's infected, they've got symptoms, their symptoms keep on getting worse, their viral load keeps on going up, and they're still walking around and interacting with people, in this case, mass gatherings for the carnival, and they're just infecting one person after the other. So yesterday, the cluster was at 6. These are known positives. Today, the cluster is at 20. But it's not just those 20. And this is why they said they weren't going to be able to really do the tracking, because there were too many contacts. And I think there were 400 people or something were supposed to be at the carnival.
Well, that's right. So, and just keep in mind, an ancillary note, Germany has given up trying to contact trace. They've admitted that it's out of control.
And that's where this couple was. They were in Germany, and they were in Western Germany near the border of the Netherlands.
Three countries.
There were like three countries that are Luxembourg, Netherlands, and one other right on the western side of Germany. And then it turns out one of the people that was one of their contacts and was positive ended up being part of another tour group. And they went to the other side of Germany on the Polish border at another amusement park kind of a setting. And they're starting to look at those to find out how many of those got infected, plus the ones that traveled with them. And so they've essentially gone from one side of Germany to the other side of Germany, all of which involve mass gatherings. And they're just spreading the virus like wildfire. And then the other one that was a little further south, that one's gotten bigger. And then the same thing's happening in France now, where they've got one cluster near Paris. It's, I think, at 12 or so. And they've got something like 28 positives in France. And all of these happened in like 1 or 2 days. And the reason they happened in 1 or 2 days is because these guys decided, well, they've got all these kits. They're just kind of sitting there. They're not going to protect anybody unless we actually use them on samples. When we use them on samples, we get positives. And we got all these contacts to look at. And when they started testing the contacts, they got more positives. And it's just all over the place. It's just the only difference between the countries essentially is how much testing they did. The ones that did a lot of testing got a lot of cases, and the ones that did a little testing got a few cases. But it's all over Europe, and it's an epidemic. And it's an epidemic in Europe, and it's part of a pandemic across the world. The biggest country with the littlest positives are the good old U.S. of A. I mean, they're just sitting here saying, gee, look at all those cases over in Europe. Look at all those cases over in Asia. Well, they don't seem to have that many in China, but you see what happened in South Korea. You see what's going on in Japan. Japan's closing down their schools for a month. All the schools in Japan are closing.
Yep.
Over in Iran, they've got a 23-year-old soccer player on the national team. He's dead.
Yep.
He died Wednesday.
How long, Henry, he was symptomatic and hospitalized before he passed? Do we know?
No, they didn't get. They said he developed symptoms. He was in calm and he died on Wednesday. They didn't really.
He wasn't sick for very long, is the way I read it. Okay, Iran's vice president is now infected. It appears that the Pope may be infected.
Exactly. And the school that the royal family, I don't keep tabs on, so I can't tell you which two, but they've got a couple children in a school that took a field trip to northern Italy, and I think several of their classmates have symptoms and are being tested. And so, it is all over. It's hitting, people that, people in the countries are starting to recognize who these people are. They would have thought they were kind of immune from, not literally immune, but that they were not going to be susceptible to the disease types diseases. And it's everywhere. It's very contagious, and especially if you're going into crowds, like a soccer game in northern Italy, you got a good chance that you're going to come out with it. You're going to bring that virus home.
Dear friends, don't go to any gatherings. No rock concerts, no basketball games. Stay out of stadiums. It's not worth it now. Just don't go.
Yeah, they're actually playing one of the soccer championship games in an empty stadium. They're going to play the game, but there's no
fans. I called that. It'll be televised. There'll be no seat, nobody in the seats. We called that. For those of you who are new, Henry and I have been doing this since January the 8th and full time since shortly thereafter. No one has covered it like Henry has. We've got it. It's all here. And the hardcore material is up at rents.com. Henry sends a ton of it every day. So please avail yourself of reality. I'm not going to call it the truth. Let's just call it reality. This is what's really going on now. The Atlanta Airport General Manager said 200 travelers showed possible coronavirus symptoms in his terminal. They're counting, at least. I don't know what they're doing about it. And then in China, an Aeroflot airliner with 63 on board was completely quarantined by the Chinese after one traveler from Iran on board became its first imported coronavirus case in China. So there's 63 passengers who will be locked up for at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's hitting the military. I mean, the U.S. has canceled their military exercises with South Korea. There's one U.S. troop there. Same thing's happening to Germany. Germany's got troops now that are positive. Sweden just reported a case ex-Germany. So they've got a case in Sweden that got infected in Germany. So now Germany, not just Italy, is exporting cases in Europe. And then Iran, of course, is exporting all these cases in the Middle East. And the numbers in South Korea keep going up every day.
Hour,
every time. I mean, they're over 2,000 now. South Korea is up to 2,022. Italy's up to 655. Italy's got 17 deaths now. They're number two behind Iran. Iran's officially up to 26 deaths with 245 cases.
But Iran discounted the 50 deaths that were reported from calm that day.
Yeah, the guy who discounted it is the guy that's
sick.
In positive, right? So he's a positive now. He said, no, they're not 50, but they got up to 26 pretty quickly. In a few days, they'll be at 50. And that's probably their ratio's off. I mean, they've got 26 deaths out of 245 cases. So they've got over 10% of the cases are already dead. You know, so even if all 245, get out of the hospital, that's really all they had, they would still have a double-digit case fatality rate. But I can assure you that all of those 245 that are in the hospital are not going to be discharged. That number is going to go up.
I talked to someone today who gets his news from the TV, and he said, you're wrong. The case... he didn't use that. He said the death rate from this is less than 1%. And what can you say to someone like that? You just can't. You can't. Yeah. You can't.
Well,
you can't.
Well, that's the other piece of misinformation that's going out, and that is they're doing an apples to oranges type of comparison. They're taking SARS with a case fatality rate of 10%, but SARS, the case definition for SARS, and it used to be the case definition for COVID, was that you had to have pneumonia. That's how they were initially defined, that they basically had atypical pneumonia. And then once they figured out what the virus was and they had a test, and so they had to have atypical pneumonia and be positive, not just be positive. You know, they didn't count atypical cases. They didn't take mild cases who would never go see a doctor, that they just had a sniffle and they didn't have pneumonia. They weren't going to go in the hospital and they weren't going to die. And so they didn't include the mild cases that didn't have pneumonia. You had to have pneumonia. If you had pneumonia, the question was, you're going in the hospital. And the question was, how are you going to get out of the hospital? Are you going to walk out or are they going to carry you out? And basically, that's what the definition of the case fatality rate. So if you look at the pneumonia cases, they were right around 10%. And if you look at the pneumonia cases for COVID, it's higher. It's in the mid-teens. It's around 15%. So COVID is more deadly than SARS. And they're basically taking this 2%, where they're taking these milder cases where you are infected with a virus, but you've got a very mild case. You're not going to get hospitalized normally. A lot of these cases, they actually put them in self-quarantine because they're asymptomatic. And the other ones that are mildly sick, they don't hospitalize them either. I mean, the chain in Germany, the first person in Germany that was infected, he developed symptoms like over the weekend. And he developed symptoms like on a Thursday or Friday, and he was back at work on Monday. He didn't go into the hospital. He recovered. He didn't die. And most of the people that he infected were asymptomatic, but they ended up testing him because they were contacts of him and he had been positive. But none of those cases would have been included in a case definition. They're only including them now because they changed it from pneumonia to being some type of, clinical presentation. So if they've got a cough or they've got a fever and they're positive, well, then they're a case. But the majority of those cases don't develop pneumonia and none of them die. And so they dilute down the case fatality rate because they have a much bigger denominator. And that their 1 or 2% would be closer to 10 or 20% of the pneumonia cases, but the ones that don't develop it are thrown in. So that's a very glaring misstatement that if you want to go and say it's only 1 or 2% of those infected and have some type of clinical symptoms, well, you can make that statement, but you can't compare that 1 or 2% to the 10% for SARS, which only used pneumonia cases, or the 30% for MERS, which also only did pneumonia cases. So this is kind of between SARS and MERS as far as the case fatality rate. It's not something that's down around 1 or 2%. And but they're saying 1 or 2% is terrible. That compared to seasonal flu, which is like 0.1%, that if it got as widespread as flu, you would have, hundreds of thousands or millions of deaths. And
that's right.
And they don't really want to talk about that. And I understand why they don't want to talk about that. But to go and say, well, this really isn't that deadly because only 1 or 2% SARS is 10 is just wrong. It is more deadly than SARS, but it's, the majority of the people don't develop pneumonia. And so if you want to say you're sick, but you're just, clinically, and you've got a cough, but you don't have pneumonia, and therefore you're not going to go in the hospital, and therefore you're not going to die, then that's fine. Because, it is good to know who has the virus and where is it, because, you could develop pneumonia. And, and you do
well, something killed that 23-year-old Iranian soccer player pretty fast. And it would seem might have gotten pneumonia, but it also, we don't know. It could have been one of those issues where his heart just stopped beating. We don't know.
Right. There's not that type of detail out of Iran yet. But the number is just too high. I mean, people look at that and say, you got 26 dead and there's only 245 cases that are alive. That's a very high case fatality rate, especially when you realize it's not 245 discharges, it's 245 that are in the hospital. And so the number of discharges they have right now.
Please remember that I'm going to repeat this again. No one can project an accurate or reasonably accurate case fatality rate without fully resolved cases. You can't do it. And this virus holds on. People remain hospitalized for weeks. Sometimes they get better. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go home and just deal with it there. I think in this country, the hospitals could be filled virtually in a few days. And people would just be like they did in China. Stay home. Deal with it at home. Unless you're critical. But even then, we can't bring you in here. We got no room. So it could get that bad by next week. They're starting to test now. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, because I think there's, I don't think they'll all get full by next week, but I think the total number of beds in the U.S. is something like 1 million. And so, normally 1 million is enough, but if you go and get a whole bunch of people that are getting sick and need to be hospitalized, and they typically are hospitalized for a long time, it's in weeks, it's not in days. And,
people have been in hospital here for over a month, some of them, and they're not necessarily critical. They're certainly serious, but there are a lot of severe and critical cases, and I can say
they're actually seeing relapses.
14% relapse. 14% relapse rate in China.
Yeah, so they're going to be less, inclined to let you out early because they don't want you to be coming back. And there's some suggestions that if you get it the second time, it could be a lot worse than the first time.
I've read.
So they're going to be, trying to rein that in. And then, actually what's also in the news is there the whistleblower that basically indicated that the Diamond Princess passengers weren't really handled according to protocol, and that there was a dispute as to what to do about the 14 positives that they knew before they loaded them onto the planes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the CDC said they should not go in the same plane. They should put them in a separate plane. They shouldn't be mixed in with the 328 that are not positive. And it's kind of like the State Department ended up winning that battle and put them all on the same plane. And then once they got to Travis or Lachlan, it sounded like it was the Diamond Princess all over again.
Mm-hmm.
No, the people that were handling them when they came off the plane didn't have the proper PPEs. They had no training in how to work with infectious disease cases. They went, after they mixed with the population, they went and stayed at hotel rooms in the area. You know, there was
smart.
No control of the virus going between the evacuees and the people that were basically, you know, settling them in and getting them off the planes and doing inventory or whatever they're doing to get everything set up. And they weren't properly equipped. It's like they weren't trained to do this. They're not infectious disease people. They're Homeland Security people. They were the ones that were involved with the children that were separated. They were taking care of the children, which theoretically, you know, didn't have COVID anyway. And so there's a whole thing about how well that was handled. And it's just one story after the
they're
other.
They're bungling
and
it one after the other.
It's only going to get worse because now they're going to find out how many they really have and what are they going to do with them. You know, and the hospitals fill up quickly. I mean, the one that went to Davis, Solano County didn't have enough, and they didn't have enough even for the Diamond Princess.
They ended up doing overflows initially. Remember what Dr. Alex Greninger said. He is the assistant professor, Department of Laboratory Medicine, and an assistant director of the Clinical Virology Lab at the University of Washington. He said, "We're not remotely prepared to handle this."
That's because they're talking about doing all this telecommuting, and the schools don't have plans, the businesses don't have plans, and it's kind of like, well, you're supposed to start doing that next week. Theoretically, and it's not official yet, but once they start testing, it'll happen sooner than most realize. When they start testing and they realize how many cases are already in the United States, and how many clusters are already in the United States, and they have not, you know, they just said, well, I don't know, have you been to China? No, well, you have some kind of weird viral something, and you got pneumonia, and doesn't look very typical.